There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Loyalty programs, are they actually worth it? Are loyalty programs that you are members of beneficial to you? Starting as of the 1st of August this year, Emirates and its low-cost sister airline Fly Dubai will share the Skywards loyalty program. Fly Dubai's existing open loyalty scheme will cease to exist then, while existing members will be enrolled into the Emirates program. The two airlines announced their expanded partnership agreement last July, intended to help them cut costs and build market share. So that's begged the question. Are loyalty programs, not just specifically that one, but other loyalty programs, too complicated? How much benefit do you get out of them? And which loyalty programs do you swear by and have you remained loyal to? Those are just a few of the questions we are asking you this morning. Why are we asking you these questions? Well, it is big business. It costs a business about five times more to acquire a customer than it does to sell an existing one. Not only that, but existing customers spend 67% more the new customers. In short, customer loyalty really does pay off, and customer loyalty programs end up paying for themselves. In light of the statistics, businesses need, or are they told that they need, to think about what they are doing to keep their customers coming back to their businesses. 82% of US adults that were recently surveyed said they're loyal to brands, and if you're like more than half the brands surveyed, your company has already implemented a loyalty program. This is big business as well. US companies spend $50 billion a year on loyalty programs alone. Nearly every store, every brand, every chain here in the UAE has its own loyalty program, and experts say it is an effective tool to engage with customers. According to a retail industry report, the global loyalty management market was valued at $1.56 billion in 2015 and is projected to reach $4.71 billion by the end of 2020. New research, however, says that the value of a loyalty program plummets for its members if the reward range offered is limited to just flights, upgrades and hotel rooms. Let's get into some research for you now. Let's back up these thoughts with a few numbers. Collinson Latitude carried out globally research among some of its thousands of members of airline and hotel loyalty programs in the United States, United Kingdom, Middle East and Asia. 61% of travellers wanted a broad spectrum of rewards. 71% said the value of a loyalty program decreased if it offered only a limited range. And overall, half of airline loyalty members and a third of hotel loyalty members said they had redeemed non-core rewards. George Tolley in studio with me. We will have special guests aplenty throughout the remainder of the show, and also taking, of course, your text on 4001 now. Is there that risk, do you think, GT, of loyalty program burnout? We've all got a number of cards in our wallets, that's for sure.
Well, we have, and the promise of unrewarded riches just makes you want to have them. And I've got so many in my wallet. My favourite is probably the Carrefour one. I don't really understand the Skywards points. Like, we've only got into it since we moved out here. Because, you know, you travel a bit more and, you know, the Emirates, you know, you travel on Emirates more than any other airline. And so it sort of makes it worth joining Skywards. But the reality is we've got all these points. We got them on the credit card as well. You know, we got a fancy credit card because everyone said you should. And so we put everything on the credit card. We build up our points. Still haven't got the slightest clue how to spend them. Literally, no idea.
I was just, I was trying to collate that in the car on the way here, just trying to put together a list of what I use. Emirates Skywards I use a lot and have done for many years. Does that encourage my loyalty? I suppose it does to a certain degree, but how much benefit have I got from the program in years gone by? I probably don't travel enough. I don't fly enough in order to get those benefits. And surely that's what it's driven towards, isn't it? You've really got to be using these things on a very regular basis and over long haul flights as well to see the true benefits.
Have you been in the fancy lounges?
Yeah.
Like, oh, so you've got enough to get in a fancy lounge?
I have done in the past.
Oh, that is worth it. That feels worth it. But then I suppose if you think about it, you could just spend, you know, I don't know, 200 dirhams on a really slap-up meal in the airport and not worry about going into the lounge at all.
But equally, you can, if you by spending equivalent amount of money, you can get yourself into the lounges these days because you can just pay your way in. So
That's true.
Where is the benefit? Visa card, we've got an Air Miles program on that, or a Miles program of sorts. Tell me to explain it to you, I wouldn't know where to start as well. And I think therein lies one of the issues as well. And I was looking at my Emirates Skywards program a little earlier on, and it's all about miles. You look at the miles and go, ooh, look at me, I've got loads of miles. And then you look at your tier miles and you haven't got many at all. And it's the sort of confusion. Do they overcomplicate these things? Or is the reason behind that? Visa cards. Do you collect Air Miles when you go down to your supermarket, etc., and pay on your credit card? Are you getting miles, but do you know how to redeem those miles? Because it certainly seems like you need a PhD to be able to work that one out. Cost of coffee. Are you one of those carriers into coffee and cafes and coffee stores around town? When you take in your redemption card, get it stamped every time. I've got a drawer full of them at home. I never use them.
Do you think you can collate them and say, look, I've got a point on these 8 cards. Surely that gets me a free coffee. My husband does that. No, not the latter. He actually has the card and takes them in.
Equally, well, what about hotel loyalty programs? SPG members, Hilton members, Hilton Honours, all those as well. Which ones work for you and which ones aren't worth the cards that they are printed on? Plus, the whole idea of loyalty. Is it a good thing or a bad thing for the hospitality and the hotel industry? Or are they more trouble than they're worth? Is it driving customers just to be loyal to one particular brand and therefore not sharing the love through others? Do send your thoughts to us on 4001. Lest we not forget as well, retail, shopping-friendly Middle East region. This has increased to 2/3 of airline loyalty members and 1/2 of hotel loyalty members as well. Some say that this makes you more brand loyal and probably return it to even if it were slightly more expensive. Going to go to a short break now. Let's go there with a bit of TEDx, shall we? Because TEDx Talk, Lance Walker has been giving a TEDx Talk. He is the CEO of Loyalty NZ. Now, that's the company that runs New Zealand's largest and most successful coalition loyalty program. It's called Flybys. And Lance, as you will hear now, says that these programs still have a place in the marketing budget and the marketing landscape, but they do need to evolve.
And it's interesting because whether you go back to the early loyalty programs of the 1920s, 1930s, or the big supermarket programs or the online programs that are coming now, those fundamentals haven't changed. The way they delivered will change and will continue to evolve. But you won't get away from the fact that loyalty is about these things on the slide. It is about the great brand. It is about the understanding of needs, the great customer experiences and relationships, the need to recognise and reward customers. I'm a bit of a Beatles fan, and one of their songs is that money can't buy you love. And the truth is that loyalty programs can't buy your loyalty either. But they can be a pretty important mechanic to help get exactly these kind of things happening between a retailer and a brand. Try and get back to that relationship that we used to have with stores on a one-to-one level, when in fact we did buy from the local butcher all the time, or the local cafe. So those things will still become important. And of course, if all else fails, making good donuts remains pretty important too, because getting that right product and making sure people love your product are still the fundamentals that drive loyalty. So do loyalty programs have a place in the marketing world? Yes, they do. Will they be there in the future? Yes, they will. And in fact, they are going to become not just more prominent, but more personalised and more of a connection between the consumer and the brand.
We're talking loyalty, and already people are getting involved in the conversation. Why are you having this conversation today? This has been prompted by the news that Emirates and Fly Dubai are to merge their benefits programs, their loyalty programs. The Emirates Skywards system will remain, and Fly Dubai, their existing open loyalty scheme, will cease to exist. Existing members will be enrolled into the Emirates program. So if you are a beneficial open loyalty scheme member out there, how is this going to affect you? Is this a move in the right direction? And if you are a loyal member of the Emirates Skywards system, please do share your thoughts with us about that and other loyalty programs. Georgia Tolley's working through a few of the comments out there at the moment.
Yeah, we've got Lucy in Motor City here sent in a text saying, I've had the special Visa card that earns me Skywards points, but I found out that you can't earn points on petrol, and therefore it's not really worth it for me.
Right, question to you all. We've been talking a lot about loyalty programs for airlines, but what about hotels? Do you select your hotel when you're out and about on business or pleasure? Do you select your hotel as a result of the loyalty program in which you are enrolled in? And just how important a role do loyalty programs play for hotels? Well, that's a question we will pose to our first guest, a very special guest, no stranger to the station and, of course, the show, a director of marketing at Mina Siyahi Complex, which is run by Marriott Group and SBG. It's Darren French joins us live on the line. Good morning to you, Darren.
Hi, Tom.
Lovely to have you on board today. And thanks very much indeed again for taking time to speak to us. Let's start with loyalty points. I mean, how important are loyalty points to you and your business today, given the competition in the market?
I mean, Tom, absolutely. They're extremely important to us. I know both Marriott and SPG, Starwood Preferred Guest. It's a huge important part of our business. We spend a lot of time growing it. We spend a lot of time growing our customer loyalty base. And we see it on a day-to-day basis with our guests that are checking in to our hotels in terms of redemptions, in terms of their choice of hotels. They are very loyal to brands and to the loyalty programs, for sure. I think for a number of reasons, obviously because they earn points, but also, and probably more important from hotels like ourselves, from a recognition point of view. Most of the guests that check in at both Le Méridien and the Westin love the recognition, whether that's an upgrade or, you know, whatever their preferences are. These are all trackable and traceable on our loyalty programs. And we find that people travel today purely through loyalty programs, and they choose hotels because of it. It's a really important part of our business.
In terms of the sort of evolution of loyalty programs and points and however you want to honour those rewards, I mean, is there the risk that programs themselves can burn out and therefore you need to keep evolving them, topping them up and refreshing them?
I mean, absolutely. I think that you can, you know, certainly from our business here, whether it's rooms or food and beverage, you know, loyalty programs you have to spend a huge amount of money on it, a huge amount of time on it, see what your customers want. I think that's really important. Listen to your customers and grow that program. Obviously, technology-wise, technology is playing a huge important part in these programs. It needs to be easy to use. It needs to be, you know, really customer-focused. It needs to give added value to the customer. But most importantly, and I think I heard that from one of your comments of your clients that texted in, the customer needs to understand why they need to be part of that program and what they're going to get out of it. So keep it simple, really, but make it really transparent and for people to understand what the benefit is to them and why they need to be part of it.
Is the truth of it that you have to have an awful lot of points before it starts to make any difference?
I think, to be fair, I think it depends on the program and it depends on how it's structured. And obviously, there are always different tiers. Certainly within SPG and Marriott Rewards, we try and reward all our customers, whether it's their first day or their 110th day. They get different rewards for staying within our group, within our various brands. Across the world. So we try and reward people no matter what their tier is, because obviously we want them to remain loyal to us, and there's a lot of competition out there. And, you know, it's important that you reward people to, you know, to stay with you and to make sure that they keep coming back to your hotels and they don't choose others.
In terms of, I mean, obviously you are in control of your own programs and the redemption of points and rewards, etc. But in an environment when there are so many voucher redemption loyalty programs that can be used in restaurants, within hotels, within other partner programs as well, does that sort of put pressure on your own points program within the facilities themselves?
Yes and no. I mean, I think that at the end of the day, we can all control which ones we participate in. Obviously, we spend a huge amount of time trying for people to grow our own loyalty points and loyalty programs. But especially in food and beverage, in this current market at the moment, there tend to be a lot of new programs. And I think it's really about making a personal choice and to which ones really deliver. I mean, there's a lot of programs out there, but there's also a lot of the programs that don't deliver. from a food and beverage perspective, there's some traditional programs that certainly do deliver, but you are paying commissions on those. And, you know, you can see it. You can trace it with technology today. You can track it in your outlets. You can track it in your rooms. So really to be a little bit more discerning about which programs you participate in and try and get rid of the programs that aren't delivering the footfall for you. Obviously, at the moment in the market, we are getting inundated with new programs that are coming out. That's always the case when the market's under a bit of pressure and people are looking for a deal or a discount or a loyalty or some kind of benefit to come to the hotels or restaurants. So, but you know, I think that we certainly here at the Mina Seaya Complex are fairly lucky is that we can be a little bit more selective, and we have our own loyalty programs that we obviously spend a lot more time trying to work on and grow.
I love that phrase that you're using there about working on and growing them as well, because that sort of goes back to this point of what people are wanting in the market at the moment, etc. It's one of the discussions you have, and I suppose it's one of the challenges that a lot of loyalty program members will be looking for discounts and they will react positively to a discount, but could that also sort of be a risky approach for hoteliers, not just yourselves, but others out there looking at sort of discounted products?
I mean, I think it always is a risky approach, but depending once again on who you're obviously partnering with, I think that's the key thing. I mean, you need to partner with companies and benefit programs that will benefit your business and not out of desperation, because I think that there's obviously two different scenarios that you can grow. So I think if you partner with somebody who really believes in your business and can help you grow it and has the same strategy as you do, as opposed to a complete discount program, you know, it can benefit. I think that where the challenge lies is as soon as, especially in food and beverage, as soon as you go onto a discount program, for example, like a brunch, and you're going in and you're giving 50% off, it's really difficult to get back to, you know, not giving that discount, because then you're creating an expectation. So it's a balancing act, and it's something, you know, with more and more outlets more and more hotels coming on, and people are, their expectation is that they don't go out anymore and pay full price. Whether that's pricing or a benefit or a free beverage or, you know, some kind of discount, that's the expectation in the market out there that we've created at the moment. So I mean, I think that from our perspective, it's certainly an ongoing balancing act and really testing it out and seeing how we go. But our main focus here at the complex is to grow our own loyalty programs, whether that's SPG or Marriott Rewards, and also to grow our own food and beverage loyalty programs so that we're not paying excessive commissions and not giving excessive discounts.
Darren, it's something that you and your team do masterfully, and long may that continue. Thanks so much indeed for your time this morning to you and all the crew up there at the Mina Seaya Complex. We'll see you very soon, and thanks.
Thanks for your time, Tom. Take care.
Darren French, the Director of Marketing at Mina Seaya Complex Marriott. Join us live on the line. Katie, she has texted saying, loyalty programs, I think, work if structured correctly. There are always cons and pros. The first step is to understand your customer loyalty approach as a larger whole. What methods lead to enhanced loyalty? Increasing customer loyalty has two halves. Decreasing factors that lead to customer disloyalty and figuring out what the customers value and acting accordingly. Loyalty programs, while common, are not always the best idea. Efforts are often wasted, especially if customers don't feel that the company's loyalty program exceeds their expectations. Many customer loyalty programs don't give the customer anything that they value. Thanks for that one. George Tolley's got more.
Yes, Noor in Business Bay says, I belong to all the airline miles programs and I've not once built up enough points for them to be worthwhile, despite travelling all the time. I think they're a complete waste of time. And Sultan Indira says, let's be honest, loyalty programs are a very good tool for companies to capture the sales made by one family, such as grocery shopping. This allows targeted marketing, etc. The benefit to the customer is in part financed by the benefit to the company in marketing data.
Let's go to Ras Al Khaimah now. Let's say good morning to Steve up in Ras Al Khaimah. Morning, Steve.
Hi, good morning.
Do you benefit from loyalty programs?
Well, I feel if we're paying for ourselves, and it's far more important that we look for the best deal. I flew maybe 10 times last year to the UK,
yep,
off my own back. And it was, the important thing was the best price. Whereas if a company is paying, maybe that's not quite so important. And yes, you can build up the points That's my opinion.
It's interesting, yeah, because as you say, you know, a lot more companies, I suppose, would be more likely to maybe send you business if you are going overnight, if you've got business the next day, etc. And then, therefore, you're going to get more tier miles that way around as well.
Yeah, of course. And I spent 5 years living in Oman,
yeah.
And our company was just always paying Oman Air, regardless of the price. And I built up to a gold member, and we got all the value, all the benefits of that. But I wasn't paying. If I was paying, I would have been looking around for perhaps the cheapest price. So yes, if a company's paying, then I think yeah, you can build up the tier miles and the points.
If you had, I mean, you talked there about making a decision off your own bat and shopping around, looking at different airlines as well. If you have had the benefit of being part of a loyalty program with another airline, though, is that one of the first airlines you go to check their flights to compare to others?
Not necessarily. I think I would go to a website which is comparing deals, and I would get the best price from that deal. If it happens to be, for example, BA, and I'm a member of their program, but that won't drive me to always fly with them. It's more important for the best deal.
And that's an interesting one as well. Are you one of those people, Steve, would you say that, do you sign up to all the programs as well? Would you be part of BA? Would you be part of Skywards? Would you be part of Oman Air?
Yes, certainly, yeah. And last year, my wife and I had a baby and in the UK, and I was flying constantly. And I joined Royal Brunei. I joined Emirates,
yeah.
And I enjoyed BA. But I certainly wouldn't fly one over the other just because of the loyalty. It was more about the price for me.
And when it comes down to loyalty, I mean, are you one of those individuals that are sort of on top of your programs? Do you know that the benefits you're going to get? Are you the first one to instigate that conversation? Or are there programs out there that call you and say, you know what, Steve, you've been a really good customer to us recently. We want to give you something.
No, I must admit, I think there are so many. We join these programs and we almost forget about them.
Yeah.
We forget we're members of them until an email comes along. So you've got this many points, and you sort of remember it, but we have so many of them now, I don't know whether, and it takes so long to get to any kind of, you know, to receive any sort of benefit from it, so I don't think I'm really on top of them at all.
Steve, thanks so much indeed. All the best to you. All the best to Russ. I came up this morning. Steve up there in Rack giving us all the latest on his opinions there. Lots of others coming in as well. We've had Stephen Chivers be in touch with us. Skywards Loyalty has been pared back so much as no longer a benefit or reason to choose an airline. That's another of our listeners out there giving us their thoughts. Georgia.
Mohammed in Jumeirah Village Circle says, I work in marketing for a major hotel group. And in my view, loyalty programs are a great way of letting your clients know that they're very important to you and that you truly value their business. This in turn makes a significant and positive impact on client relationship and your company's reputation. If you're good to your customers, they will like you, and if they like you, they will stay loyal to you. I'm a little bit distracted in the studio this morning because Tom is waving at the window cleaners. Hello, window cleaners.
It's that old.
Did they wave back? Can they see you?
I think if they're too close, they can't see you. I think they need a little perspective on life. They need to go back a bit further, but which sort of defeats the object of window cleaning.
But we don't want them to like swing back and push the trolley backwards because they might fall out. If you want to see what the window cleaners look like, we have been tweeting on our on Dubai Eye 1038.
The window cleaners are out. Jonathan's also been in touch with us. Jonathan, thank you very much indeed. Said was reading an interesting survey by Loyalty Marketing and CX recently that revealed that there are an estimated 3 billion loyalty programs within the United States alone, with the average American household signing up for at least 29 memberships. These numbers are quite a stark revelation. But did you know that only a fraction of these memberships are actually ever used? Out of the 29 loyalty programs people sign up for, only 12 of them are used by American households, and this tends to be at places where these customers do their regular shopping. And that sort of feeds into the findings that I'm found, because there I was a little earlier on talking about the list that I'd done, you know, with my Skywards and my Air Miles on Visa and my Costa Coffee to cards and my SBGs and my Hilton Honours, etc. And then I've just gone to the phone and I've gone through the number of apps that I don't use on a regular time, which I've inadvertently signed up to partner programs, Smiles by Etisalat, a couple of the hotel ones, bits and pieces in there as well. And again, I suppose, is there a differentiation we need to make here between traditional members or privilege cards in your wallet and the new digital approach where you download it on apps, etc., and get more value from the digital approach to loyalty programs? If that's something you'd like to share your thoughts on, I would like to hear from you this morning. Do get your details over to me, because I wonder, and I suppose that's the other thing, is that, I mean, the number of times if you're not on top of your loyalty program, if you don't use it regularly, there is just, you know, can you remember the passwords to get yourself in there?
Never.
Can you remember how to get to redeem the values? I mean, unless you really are on top of it, what are the benefits that you get brought?
So I'm a bit narky about these things. I think they're just harvesting your data, and very few of them give you anything back at all. And literally, so I nearly signed up for one of the ones you just said on an app. I was going through Heathrow Airport. And there, if you're in the duty free and you spend a certain amount of money and you sign up to their app, then you get, you know, 25 quid, which is, you know, 100 dirhams, something like that. No, 1,000 dirhams. You get off your bill. And I nearly did it. And then I thought, hang on a second. What are they going to know about me? They're going to know my shopping habits. They're going to know which flight I'm on. They're therefore going to know where I live. And I reined myself in, because I'm fed up with giving my private data to these companies. And it's all big data. Like, they don't really care about me personally. But I'm giving them the tools with which that they then do, you know, mass marketing campaigns. And I'm not really getting anything in return.
Just want to turn your attention. I just want to get your thoughts, Georgia, on another story that's caught my eye. Nothing to do.
As I swing towards the window looking for the window cleaners.
Nothing to do with window cleaners. Them window cleaners out there. But it's just to do with this story that has been featured in the news at the moment. Not regional story, but a local, international story. This extraordinary story about the 12 boys and their football coach who've been trapped in this Thai cave. Now, the great news and the breaking news last night was that they were found.
Yes.
Which is amazing. Because they were 10 days underground. They were finally found after 10 days. I suppose the bad news for them is that they might be there in that cave for the next 4 months.
I'm just reading it now. How come? What's the deal?
They can't get them out without them diving. And none of them are proficient divers. In fact, some of them can't swim. So in order to get them out, because the season has changed and the weather has changed, one of the potholes is filled with water. So in order to get out, they've got to become proficient divers to dive through a cave system.
Oh, my goodness. I got that claustrophobia feeling now on their behalf.
They are trapped in the Tam Luang Nong cave complex down in Chiang Rai. They've been missing for 10 days. They've been found since by rescuers. International rescue effort has paid dividends there. But since then, the caves have flooded. And it looks like the boys are about 2.5 miles away from entrance and from the surface. And they could be, they're saying, they're not going to be left there. They're not going to be fending for themselves. They will be delivered
whatever they want. Aged between 11 and 16. I mean, they're real children. And their 25-year-old coach. Can you imagine being 11 and trapped in a cave, a watery cave, for 4 months?
Well, it's gonna test their team spirit, that's for sure, isn't it? 4001, if you want to have your say on that story. I find it extraordinary. And I'd love to get your thoughts as well. Are you a proficient caver? Do you pothole? And if so, what are your thoughts on this one with these kids and their coach being stuck possibly underground for the next 10 for the next 4 months or so? Let's get on to some of the other comments that are coming through on today's talker, which is all to do with loyalty programs out there. Just how worthwhile are they, and just how beneficial are they, and how many have you benefited from in the past? Which are the best loyalty programs that you've been a part of? Thank you very much indeed to Paul. Says hi guys, Skywards is a winner, although those miles don't go as far as before. Organic food and cafe, well, I have over 1,000 dirhams worth of points and 4 months of trying to get vouchers. I'm not the only one. No longer a loyal customer. Paul makes up a really good point there. So if the said company, said program is not loyal to you, when do you pull the plug on that loyalty? Let's get some more examples of this. Let's go to the lines. Let's go to line three and say morning to Neeraj. Hey, Neeraj.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
Neeraj is down by Mall of the Emirates at the moment. Hope you're not stuck in too much traffic this morning. Loyalty programs, they work for you?
Well, it depends, you know, what kind of a loyalty program we're talking about. Now, unfortunately, some of the marketing programs start off offering value. Paul just mentioned Skywards, and I thought that was a fantastic program a couple of years back. But it seems to have lost its focus, probably, with so many people flying. Also, I don't know how these marketing programs develop these loyalty programs develop as part of a marketing program. I don't know if there's some bean counter sitting there and looking at the cost of this loyalty program and saying, you know, let's rein in the benefits that we offer. You know, also there's another kind of loyalty program that can be purchased. For example, you have the Amazon Prime or the Costco program in the US where you buy your loyalty and where you kind of pay an upfront fee. But what you get in term of that is, you know, daily free shipping, or you get access to special deals that offer a lot of value. So those kind of loyalty programs where I would see value, whether it's a prize, whether it's a special deal, whether it's an exclusive offer, those appeal to me. But increasingly, I find in this market, it's not a competitive tool used by companies in a logical, structured, long-term way. It's more an ad hoc thing. Let's just bundle something and, you know, give it off. So, unfortunately, I don't see too much value nowadays in loyalty programs here. I used to. And I would love to see, for example, Souq offer Amazon Prime or something like that.
Mm.
And I could see me becoming a partner, me becoming a member of that.
It's interesting. Do you think as you said, there are sort of times of in terms of the competition that is generated by loyalty programs, do we expect sort of great returns on these things as a result of our loyalty? Or are we better served, do you think, Neeraj, just trying to deal with smaller loyalty programs, like getting a free coffee once you've bought 5 during the week?
I really think loyalty programs should be very seriously thought about by a marketing organization, because it's a long-term investment in how you want to deal with your customers. First of all, you're asking your customers to give you data, right? That's one thing. On the second level, how do you plan to use this data? What kind of resources do you want to put behind this program? Because it can be a very, very efficient tool. If you look at Amazon Prime, probably it was loss-making for the first couple of years. But since then, you have, for example, beyond the physical shipment of goods, you have, for example, content. And now that's become a stream which offers more value to customers. I think an organization should, especially if you talk about this competitive environment, they should really put down their thoughts onto this and see what they really invest in this, what they want to offer, because it can be a very, very tangible and strong tool. But unfortunately, it looks like, you know, it's a very ad hoc approach.
Mm.
It's like the marketing manager changes, the organization goes through a tough time, let's pull off the spending on this, let's pull off the resources on this. I would prefer a long-term, structurally sound approach that offers consistent value.
Neeraj, always great to talk to you. Thanks very much indeed to Neeraj for joining us live on the line. That was Neeraj over there at Mall of the Emirates. You can do exactly the same by giving us a call, 0487155500. We're fast approaching the news headlines, which will be read by Senor Rapani. So stay tuned for that. News from the ARN News Centre coming your way shortly. We will continue this conversation. Let's stay loyal to the subject into the second hour of the show. Do loyalty programmes actually work? Thank you very much indeed, Cameron. The Flybys loyalty programme New Zealand was awesome. We heard about that a little earlier on. Said he used it for years and got loads of appliances for free. So that one works. What about others that work out there? Has anyone been a member of the American Express loyalty program? What about other airlines, other hotel groups? What about other entities altogether? I want to hear the good and the bad on both of these, please, as we delve a little deeper and ask, do loyalty programs actually work these days?
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.